Hello, this is St. John's Church in Birkdale and the sermon for the 2nd of July 2023. And today's sermon was written and delivered by Reverend Roy Doran. And today we are in the book of Jude and in verses 5 to 11. And the theme today is Remember, Remember. So it's week 3 of our look at this very small but very powerful book of the Bible. And interestingly, this is next to the last book in the Bible, and I don't think it's just been put there as somewhere to place it. Because when you look at it in context with the other letters or books, its relevance and positioning is of vital importance to the problems which would face the early church and indeed the church of today with the problem of apostasy. And that word apostasy literally means to abandon one's faith or to let other influences infiltrate or distract people from the truth. When you look in the book of Revelation, you will discover that there were many warnings about wandering from the truth of God's word. And if you get the chance later to have a look at Revelation chapter 2, as John, the writer of this book, speaks the words given to him by God as warnings to make sure that people remain true to the word. A warning was given to the church at Ephesus, where it is written, "I hold this against you, for you have forsaken your first love." Another to the church in Pergamum, "I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual sin." Yet other warnings to the churches in Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. All of these warnings and statements were spoken by God, the author of these words, to the writer John, who then faithfully penned them for us in that book of Revelation. Therefore, they are as relevant to the church of today, which we're all part of, as it was relevant back then. And it's really important for us to remember these words from Jude. In chapter 1, there's only one chapter, between verses 5 to 11. And Jude, who was guided by the Holy Spirit, he changed what he was going to write. If you remember, he was going to write about the shared salvation that they had, but instead was writing this letter to warn them about being deceived and to defend the faith. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and heap abuse upon celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for the prophet into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. The readers of this letter aren't identified as such, but at the time of writing, they were beset by false teachers who were immoral, covetous, proud, and also divisive. You will note that Jude is very critical of three particular people. The first one was Cain, who actually killed his brother out of jealousy. Cain's brother Abel kept flocks and had kept the command of God at the time of making, making sacrifices of animals under their care. So he had taken some fat portions from the firstborn out of his flock, and this pleased God. Whereas Cain worked the land, so he brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to God. and this was deemed by God as being unacceptable. The rules for any sacrifice can be found in Leviticus chapter 2, and they are very specific. However, the real reason Jude mentions Cain was because of his jealousy of his brother, which caused him to kill him. The second warning was around Balaam, and he's not an Israelite, but apparently a Syrian who lived in Pethor, a town situated near the Euphrates, just south of Carchemish. His prophecies result from an attempt to curse Israel in exchange for the money and honour of a frightened King Moab, Balak, son of Zippor. To make matters worse, unlike any other prophet, he leads the Israelites into sin and brings a curse upon them, succeeding in getting 24,000 of them killed. And the third warning was around Korah. He was not content with what God had given him to do. He did not want to be a person under the authority of others. Instead, he wanted to be the mediator between God and men. He wanted the top job, the one he saw that had the most going for it, the one that had the most authority. He wasn't content with where God had placed him in the body of the church at that time. So this brief explanation of these characters highlighted their attitudes and their behaviours. False teaching, pride, selfishness, jealousy, greed, lust for power, and disregard for obeying God's will. And all these things are an abomination to God. Jude reminds us of the consequences of such behaviour. So this passage from Jude has some very powerful, important things to say to us today. And our theme is remember, we're not talking about bonfire night, but you could say that there will be fireworks when we stand before God on the day of judgment. If we do not strive to keep true to his word and not follow the unholy deceptions which are around today, then there will be consequences for all of us. After all, it's the King of Kings we follow, and one day we will all stand before him and we will be judged. Tim spoke last week about how easy it is nowadays to be caught out by scammers because they do everything they can to steal from you. In the same way, there will be people who will try and distract you from the divine truth of the Word of God. Why? Well, it's in order to become popular with the trends of the world and allow a system of anything goes and is acceptable to God. We can see and hear it today on all elements of social media and TV, and these influences are very real and can easily distract us from the holy lives that God wants us to live and indeed sent his son Jesus to restore us from our sinful ways. Just remember the couple of passages from last week, Romans 16 verses 17 and 18. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Or from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 10. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. It's vitally important that you hear what I share with you now because it's very true. All of us have fallen short of God's original hope and purpose for us, without exception. We were and are no different to every single person who has ever been or will be born. Because we are human and born into a sinful world, we all fall short of God's intentions for us. And because of some faithful, spirit-filled people who have spent time with us and shared the truth, it's become a life-changing encounter with God, as we know from our own experiences. We were not written off as we deserved. We were saved because of the truth that was shared with us, and God blessed us because of that truth. That's why we have to be welcoming to all people who find themselves living under the control of a sinful world. No matter what that form of sin takes in their lives, they need to know the truth. And this is our mission as people of God, So we must never ever distort the truth in order to try and win them over, because false theology leads to a false understanding of salvation. We must never write anyone off because God, through his grace and mercy, didn't write us off. Our responsibility is to use every opportunity to share with them God's grace, mercy, and truth. And at the same time, share with them what God's holy and sacred word, which was written for all to see for themselves, share that so that they might become holy and acceptable in his sight and live secure and Holy Spirit-filled lives. Therefore, we must endeavour to remain true to his word and not make changes to it in order to make it fit in or acceptable to sinful behaviour, no matter what influences come our way. Remember the passages that we shared from the book of Revelation. These are warnings to the Christian churches worldwide, not only to the churches of that time to whom these passages were first written, but to all the churches in existence today, those who will come into existence in the future, and indeed for those who will remain as churches until the Lord returns. Wayward teaching and ungodly living will have dire consequences. So living by the true word of God is not only vital for us now, but for all mankind in the future. Now I want to share a word of caution with you, and it's this. The devil will not be happy with you as you endeavour to remain true to and share the word, because he will do everything possible to distract you in order for a more liberal and distortion of teaching to make all behaviours and beliefs in society acceptable. We know that only too well to be a reality by the things we are seeing and hearing today. So how can we guard against spiritual attacks? Well, remember what God has done in sending Jesus to save us. He was tempted by the devil, but remained true and sinless. In Christ, we can also withstand temptations and pressures. Do not bow to the pressures of the world to behave in any particular way. These usually reveal themselves in the distortion of our understanding of the truth. And remember what I've shared with you before. The only way to detect error is to know the truth. This does mean that our knowledge of God's word should be a real priority in our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, is this a priority for you? Is this a priority for me? Because if it's not, then there's a very good chance that we will fall. We must never ever take for granted anything that is shared with us without testing it against God's word. You've heard shared from this church leadership that there are so many distortions of the truth being shared day by day in our own town. And this is happening worldwide, day in, day out, week in, week out, year in, year out, and generation after generation. Every other so-called religion does not accept God as Father, Jesus the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit, along with the divine word of God, which is the truth, any more than the scammers do, trying to infiltrate your lives and destroy your relationship with God. So spend more time with your Lord and learn more and more of his truth. Remember that the word of God is life transforming, it is life giving, it is life sustaining, and it is vital for all to hear the truth, no matter what the cost is to us. It will not make you popular with other people around you who are being consumed by the media and non-Christian influences, but we're in good company because it didn't make Jesus popular either. They crucified him in order to try and shut him up. But it didn't work, did it? All we are called to do is to live by the truth and preach or share what is written in God's word. Nothing more and nothing less. Amen.